You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reform book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur. You're listening to Brazen Bookworm's Unrighteous Reading Rebellion, a reform book snob's journey and musings through all things romance. Some language may not be safe for all ears. Frequent use of sarcasm may occur.
I'm recording this. We're in the state of Maryland, so I have to tell you by law that you're being recorded audio-wise. And just so everybody knows, and you can, if you don't want to be recorded audio-wise, this is your last chance to back out.
That's cool.
Cool. All right. So we're super, super excited to have you here. I am so sorry. I have been sick all week. I'm managing through with the most voice I've had in 5 days. And we're just going to do this and love it. And we're super excited to have Janice Whitaker and Christopher David here chatting with us about Janice's new book, No Going Back, and the amazing cover that Christopher is on. So thank you both for being here with us. We're the Stalker Sisters, three of the four of us right now. I'm Michelle Feuer, also known as Brazen Bookworm, and
I'm Ron House, I'm also known as a lot of other things that nobody needs to know about.
Janice?
Oh, I have to introduce myself. I'm Janice Whitaker. I write romance.
I'm Christopher David, and I'm just grateful enough to be here, and Janice put me on her book, so thank you for that. Appreciate it.
I did. Working well for me, so I have no complaints.
That is working for you. That's amazing. That's awesome.
I know, right?
I think we're all here now. So we're talking about Janice's book and Christopher on the cover, and it's amazing how much a cover can do, the right cover on a book. We talk about this a lot. Actually, I talk about this a lot. And there's a big discussion in the romance industry right now about what a cover can do for a book. Actually had a conversation today with one of my authors where we were going back and forth about cover choices, and it's, well, if I choose this, this, and if I choose that, that, and it does make a huge difference when the right cover is on the right book. And I'm just going to say right now, that cover on No Going Back with Christopher on it is the perfect cover for No Going Back. He really exemplify Griffin perfectly. And it fits the character, it fits the theme, it fits the mood. It's just overall perfect. So well done, both of you. Janice and Christopher and the photographer. I'm going to say sisters, y'all are going to have to pick this up for me. So usually what we do is we go through talking about the book, and we want to talk about the cover, how it impacts. Also about both of you, Janice and Christopher, how what you do within the industry, how it impacts your lives, et cetera. So we usually like to start with his quotes, because we feel like quotes really bring out a lot of the book and bring out a lot of the character. And there's always highlighted quotes in the Kindles about what people find that they're drawn to. And for me, quotes usually have to do with what represents the character within a book. So we're going to run through really fast. We're going to run through some quotes. But I have a question. Christopher, have you read the book?
No, actually, I ordered it, and I was hoping to have it today. So actually, I had a poster made just to make sure I could help you guys advertise it.
Oh, that's awesome.
It was supposed to be here today, and it didn't come yet. So I didn't get a chance to read it yet, but I did see your coverage on it. I did duet your video on TikTok about
that.
It. I heard
Thank
it was a
you.
Good thing you said about it. So I'm very excited to read it.
Awesome. Yeah, I had a feeling it wasn't going to get to you yet, because I know the paperback hit early, but it wasn't that early. So I know that takes some time for them to get to folks. So I wanted to ask that, because that, again, if you had a quote that you liked, I was like, okay, cool, we're gonna pull him into this too, because it's kind of
I wish I would have had it by now, but like I said, I didn't get a chance to get it yet. Like it's ordered, it's on its way, you know, according to Amazon. It should have had it already, but
well,
you know how
it's
that goes.
Amazon.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, you know exactly how that goes. Yeah, you know,
and we love that
they say it's gonna be 2 days shipping.
Yes,
next, you know, it's four.
Yes, so. we love them, and they do their thing, and that's sometimes they're delivering things before we know it. And sometimes it's like, oh, well, that's eight states away
now.
Sometimes
you get things that you didn't order that come to you. I bet it took a couple times.
Usually when that happens, I did actually order it, but we're not going to talk about don't drink and prime.
Right on, right on.
So, So we're going to run through some quotes real fast and talk about the book and the cover, and both of you and your lives and how it relates to what we're doing in the industry here. All right, Susie, since you're on, I want you to go first, because I love this first quote you have.
Sometimes you accidentally go back instead of forward, but all that matters is that you keep on trying.
I thought you might, considering a lot of the content that you have on your socials, and that's why I wanted Susie to read it first, because in a lot of the content on your socials, you talk about the journey and moving forward and steps backwards and step forward. So I thought that's
my books. I have a book too. Called The Journey That Saved My Life. And that's basically what it is, you know, like that, life is an education. I mean, my son, oldest son just graduated college. And I told him, I said, listen, just because you graduated college doesn't mean you stop learning, son. I was like, now you just have life lessons to learn, you know? So that's really what it is. You know, life is a classroom, you know? So that's a great quote. I like that quote.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it's funny because we talk about that in martial arts also, where it's like you go through this journey to become a black belt. And then we always tell our black belts, your journey starts now.
What martial arts do you do?
It's a blended Kyokushin Taekwondo.
Oh, nice.
Karate. So, and this is my 12th year training, but we always tell our black belts.
Congratulations. That's awesome.
Thank you. We tell our black belts.
I started off with jiu-jitsu. I've been doing martial arts for almost 30 years. So,
yeah. So yes. So, you know, exactly. And that's part of it. You go all through all these ranks, you go through all these trials, you go through all these tests and tribulations. It's like, okay, great. Now I'm a black belt. I've achieved it. Oh, no.
This is where
it starts.
You just started.
Yes. So
it's like learning the alphabet and then learning how to spell. And now you get to read. That's basically what it is. Yeah.
Always the steps. I love it. And Susie, the second one that you had is one of my favorite ones, and it's so typical and quintessential Janice.
It says,
you have to read that one too.
I've already got a bail money bitch.
Wait, I missed that. Can you say that again?
I've already got a bail money bitch.
Right on.
Everybody needs a bail money bitch. And I love that, because that part in there where she's talking with that friend is knowing who's got your back. It's pretty important. I love that. All right, hang on. Ron, you're up.
Oh, me? Okay. So the first one is, it would take more time to train someone than it does for me to just do it. And when I read it, I said, Janice has been in my head this week. Because I've been training a team. It's crazy. The other one is, also kind of resonated. I'm okay. I've got it under control. It was a lie. One Griff could clearly see through, since he was standing in the center of my waterlogged proof. I know you do. His thumb slid back across her lip in a slow drag. And I know that you could figure this out on your own. Another torturously slow pass of his thumb. I just don't want you to have to. And how many of us just want somebody to see that we got it, but we don't got it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And Griffin is so swoonworthy.
He is so swoony.
And before I read this, I knew that we were going to do this podcast. So I hit you up on your socials. So unfortunately, whoever narrates this book is going to be play second fiddle to you, because in my head, that was the voice I was hearing.
Right on. I'll narrate it if you need somebody to narrate it. I'll do it.
Awesome.
You know, it's already done.
Okay.
Diana sucked in a breath, gripping the wheel as she drove, feeding herself a new set of words, ones she chose, ones she might believe if she said them enough. She wasn't chubby. She was gloriously curvy. She wasn't fat. She was lush. She wasn't big. She was fucking perfect. A goddamn goddess.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, and by the way, we have no filters. So yes, we have no filters, and language is something that I love the way Janice uses when you write.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. Like, the F word's my favorite word, so that's a beautiful thing.
Well, we all have something in common.
Right on. Excellent.
I worry. I'm like, I'm going to be the first one to say, fuck. I know I am. I always am, but I wasn't.
I always tell people it's the only word that you can use as an adjective, a noun, a pronoun, a verb. It's like the multi cultural word. You can use it for anything, you know.
All the jobs done.
It is universal. And depending on your inflection and your mood and your tone and your volume.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Volumes. And Janice, when you wrote that, okay, talk to us a little bit about what was on your mind when you wrote that quote, because it is so perfectly Diana and something so many people need to hear.
Yes. And that was sort of the point of this book. I have struggled with how I look my whole life. It doesn't matter how much I weigh. It doesn't matter what I look like. I have very deep-seated, from when I was younger, issues. And this whole book was about the fact that sometimes you can't ever get over things. And I felt bad for a long time that I couldn't just get over it, that I couldn't just be fine. And so the point of the book is that sometimes you aren't fine. You've been broken. You're never going to be like you were. And that's okay. And so that's sort of her trying to reframe the broken parts of her into something that doesn't get rid of them, but makes them a little easier to live with.
Reframes them.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You ever heard of the word wabi-sabi?
No.
No. It's a Japanese word. It's been around for like 3,000 years. It means there's beauty in our flaws. Mm-hmm. They call it wabi-sabi. So the Japanese, when they break their tea glasses, they'll glue them back together. And they find beauty in the scars of what they have. Mm-hmm. And what you said right there, Janice, is basically what you're describing. You might not get over it, but there's beauty and strength in those imperfections.
Yeah,
and that's what helps us move on.
Yeah, and if you can't get over it, that's okay too.
Yeah, no, it's absolutely okay.
Yeah,
it's absolutely
and,
right.
Yeah, it's still there, and it doesn't necessarily have to be bad. It's going to be there, so you might as well make it pretty.
Exactly, you can find peace and beauty in those scars. Exactly, wabi-sabi, absolutely.
I love perfect. That's my new word.
Wabi-sabi. For me. You know, I think it's what she was saying, or at least what I feel, is it doesn't matter how much my current husband tells me I'm amazing and beautiful and all that. I still have back here, you know, my ex-husband saying something totally different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I've grown and I've learned that it doesn't matter how big I am or whatever, but every once in a while it creeps back in. So that's what I got a lot from Diana.
Just to elaborate on that, it's not just for women either. You know, I had a very traumatic marriage myself. And even as far as I've come in the last 7 years, everything I've overcome, I still get that voice too. In the back of my head that tells me I'm not good enough, you know, and that I'm not, you know, perfect, you know, in whatever kind of manner they thought I was, you know. Yeah. So I totally relate. I understand, you know, I always say that because I'm a big advocate for men's mental health, you know.
Absolutely.
And
absolutely.
I think a lot of times, especially in my position, you know, people look at me and they think, oh, this guy's got everything going on. And I don't have those insecurities, but I do, you know, and I have those same thoughts and those same questions and those same doubts, you know, that each and every one of you have. You know, it's a universal thing.
And that was one of the cool things about the book was that you did that. You showed that Griffin is just as broken and perfect as Diana is. And that while they both have their insecurities, they can come together and figure it out, fix their stuff.
Yeah. And Griffin, men's mental health is hugely important and isn't as normalized as it is for women. And so Griffin goes to therapy in the book. He realizes, you know, I'm doing things that I can't do on my own. I need someone else to help me figure out how to do this. And he goes to therapy.
So you did meet me before you wrote the book.
All right.
It's a great example of how everybody has scars and everybody mm-hmm. has flaws and vulnerability. And mm-hmm. you can look at somebody, have no idea what's going on in their background, in their history, in their life, and make judgments. Mm-hmm. And those judgments can be damaging because it can be the wrong word. It can be the wrong thing that's said at the wrong time that mm-hmm. sticks with someone forever. Sometimes it's a constant, but sometimes it's just hearing one thing.
It snaps you back to that trauma too, you know, it snaps you back to that moment of what that person yes. said or whatever happened mm-hmm. in that incident, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And that's why the quote that I pulled is right now, this is about Diana, about helping her see that holding on to the pain of your past would only taint your future. Even more advice he could probably stand to throw in his own face, but taking on her demons was turning out to be easier than dealing with his own. How often?
That's one of the things I do. What I do in my social media is mm-hmm. I started this whole thing. I didn't expect anybody to follow me. I didn't expect anything. Like I got on social media, but I literally did those positive posts you see in the beginning for me. I did it to remind me, almost like looking in the mirror. And telling yourself over and over again, because nobody watches it more than I do. So I'll say something that in my darkest moment that's positive and that's you know reassuring and affirming. And I'll watch that over and over again to change my thought process, to remind myself that I'm not in that moment anymore. You know, and through that, you know, it's been an amazing journey where people have resonated with it. You know what I mean? And that's why I do what I do. And that's why I'm very bluntly honest about who I am as a person, because I'm really no different than anybody else. Like, I am you, you are me. We have these same issues. And the more we open up and are honest about it, the quicker we can realize that there's beauty in the imperfections of being perfectly imperfect.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And Julie, I was like, oh my gosh, did we lose Julie? No, she just turned her screen off. No, and it's true. And we see social media has been really great to show everybody's highlight reels and make everybody very self-conscious and jealous. But it's also been wonderful on the other side if you're looking for something to provide inspiration, if you're looking for support, if you're looking for, someone who you resonate with. Those are the places I like to look. Those are the sites that I like to trend towards. Book groups have become my lifeline. When I got on social media years and years and years ago, it was okay, keeping up with family, somebody I haven't spoken to since high school. But in the last 3-4 years, it's been finding that support in groups of people that you resonate with. Sometimes it's another reader. Sometimes it's an author. Sometimes it's, finding someone's social media through this one shared a link from this one, from this one, from this one. And you go down these rabbit holes and it's like, oh, wow. Okay. I get it. I resonate with this and I can grab onto that. And when I'm having that day where I'm like, yeah, this sucks. Like everything right now just sucks. Who can I go? Where can I go and find something that's going to cheer me up?
Well, it makes you feel not alone too.
Yeah.
Like it makes you're like, all right, I'm not the only person that's going through this. You know what I mean? And sometimes when you're watching that stuff, you know, it's one thing that I love about TikTok. Like, you know, there's a lot of people that don't like TikTok. I get on it by accident. Like I was talking to this girl 2 years ago and she talked me into getting on it. And I'm like, oh, TikTok's for kids. And I had no idea how it worked. And I never expected anything to go viral. Like I didn't even know what viral was. And, but it's opened up a lot of doors for me, like a lot more than I would ever have on any other social media. And, but I found not just people I agree with, but people I don't agree with that I can see their perspectives better.
Yeah.
You know, and it gives me a better understanding of compassion for that. And I think it's amazing. I really do. I really think that TikTok and is a very open platform, you know, that you can actually reach out to so many different people from all around the world, a lot more than you can on any other social media, you know, not to put a shout out to TikTok or anything, but.
No, but it's true. And, you know, it's like short attention span theater for me, where it's, you don't have to sit through, a 3-hour inspirational video. You're getting these small snippets and, the linking, I love that it'll jump. So the algorithms, okay. So my teens are my sponsor teens, and they know all of this stuff. So they train me really well. But they're very attached to TikTok because the algorithms, they say, are very accurate, where they'll pull things. And it's like, oh, you like this? Let me show you that. Mm-hmm. And it will pull more inspirational. It will pull more book things. It pulls other things too. Yeah. I don't know where some of the stuff comes up from. I'm like, okay, who was doing what right now?
But...
It comes from Susie.
You know?
It all comes from Susie.
It all comes from you.
She's the thirst trap.
There you go, right on.
Yep, she does. She finds, yes, our name, the Stalker Sisters, actually comes from Susie. So we have her to blame for all of it, to thank for all of it. We thank Susie for all of it, because it's all about the language that she used. But I do like that it gives kind of an option of just scrolling through things. You can get lost in it, but there's a nice element of connection too. There's a lot of people that I wouldn't have found. There's a lot of things I wouldn't have seen. So I'm grateful for it. I spend a lot of time there and on Instagram and the Facebook groups. So I'm going to kind of dovetail off that a little bit, because I know we've got like things, questions, we've got all over the place. We always start with a plan, and we always expect the plan to go off the rails. And as I said the other day, wait a minute, there are rails. I was not aware of this. So you've been on TikTok. It's become really good for you, Christopher. How did you get into modeling for book covers? Is that an element of that?
Jane Ashley found me on
TikTok. It's all the haters. It's all the naysayers. All the ones that want to chew up my name. One word of advice: don't choke on it.
Yeah, she found me on TikTok. She saw that I had a video. I had a couple of videos. I have like 4 videos that went viral, like over 1 million views on them. She reached out to me and said, you know, would I be interested in being on book covers and romance novels? And I was like, maybe. I was like, you know, and I get a lot of offers from people that really aren't real, you know. So I did my research and I saw that she did a 50 Shades of Grey cover. And so I thought she was real. And I was like, so my oldest son was just getting ready to graduate. Well, it was almost a year ago. I guess it was back in October. So it was almost a year ago. My oldest son's he's a good looking dude. He's a stud, man. He's like 6'2" and, you know, he's got this great jaw and he's just a good looking boy, you know? And I had an offer when I was younger to be on Wilhelmina and Ford. They both gave me contracts and I was his age. And I went home and told my mom, and my mom told me that looks fade, that I should get a blue collar job. And I literally threw the contracts in the trash, and it's my biggest regret ever. So I tell my son all the time, you know, he's a good looking dude. So when the opportunity arose for me to go out and see Jane in South Dakota, I was like, you know what? I'm going to take my son, because my son was going out of school out in Pittsburgh. I was like, I'm going to take him, man. And I'm going to show him that he can do this. Like he, not only is he good looking, but he has something I don't have. He's taller than me, so he could do the runway model thing, you know, the whole nine. So I literally just did it to show my son that he can do this, you know. So I drove out there, it was a 22-hour drive. I live in Pennsylvania, so I drove out there for like 22 hours, and I picked him up, and it was a father and son thing. We went for 3 days, and it was funny because Jane didn't know I was bringing him. And my son was like, Dad, he's like, are you sure it's okay if I go? I go, listen, man, I have such faith in you that when we get there and Jane sees you, she's going to want to take your picture. And he's like, are you sure? I'm like, I promise you. So we got there and he came up behind me behind the steps and he came down the steps and Jane was like, oh, I'm happy you're here. And she looked right past me and looked right at my son. And she was like, are you going to take pictures? And he's like, that's okay. And so I literally did it for him, just to show him that he could do it. I really had no expectations of anybody ever buying my pictures to be on any books. And then, you know, now I'm on 6 of them, you know, and I've done 3 commercials and I've been on Donner Magazine with Elon Musk. And, you know, I just signed a contract with Mupo Entertainment. I'm going to be having my own workout show, my own podcast on there.
Congratulations.
And I'll be hosting a Rick Garber Gala, where I'll be interviewing people from The Walking Dead and a bunch of other shows, man. I'm very, very excited about that. So TikTok's opened up a lot of doors for me, a lot more than I've ever had in anything else. So, you know, but yeah, she found me on there. And then, you know, if you would have told me, I'll be 47 this year. If you would have told me, you know, 10 years ago that I'd be on the cover of anybody's book, romance novel, I would have laughed at you and said, no way. But I'm really grateful. I'm really humble that people gave me the opportunity and that Jane found me and that, you know, and that TikTok gave me the opportunity to be out there for people. Like, you know, it's pretty amazing.
That is amazing. And it's, you do a shoot like that. And have you done additional ones with her, or is that the first one? No,
we're setting up something for October. Okay. But I'm going to be doing my own photo shoots, I think. I think it's something that I can definitely tap into. So I'm going to be doing my own pictures, get my own program, and I'll be selling my own eventually. So that way I can, you know, make some more money. So, you know, we'll see what happens. But yeah.
Anybody who hasn't checked out the TikTok, I think there's a video of your photo shoot.
Yeah, there's a couple on there. Yeah, there's a couple on there. They're on there and on Instagram, on my Instagram. So yeah, if you go to See Me Now 72, which was a joke. I literally made that name up because the girl that I was talking to going on TikTok, she couldn't find me. So I was being cocky. I was like, see me now. So it was really, and again, I only had like 13 followers. I didn't know how the algorithm worked. I didn't know that thousands of people would see that. But yeah, and 72 is my lucky number. Everybody always thinks it's my birth year, but it's just my lucky number. But yeah, so if you go to See Me Now 72 on TikTok, or if you type in hashtag Team David 72 on Facebook or Instagram, you can find all that stuff.
Well, I will, when I edit the video, I will add that video into this one.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yes. Julie is amazing with all of this. I kind of put her on the spot one time and I was like, so we kind of need someone who's going to do all like the tech stuff, and that's like not my thing. And she's like, oh, I think I have a program that will do that. And I'm like, congratulations, you've been promoted to producer. Right. So
you're like, winner.
I think we were literally sitting around a table at the Marriott in Orlando for Shameless. And I looked at her and I said, so about the podcast. She was like, I'm like, aren't you glad you came to Orlando with me?
That's awesome.
Clearly, I haven't learned anything because I still offer my services to people.
Yes.
And we're so glad that you do.
Yes, because you're amazing. Julie does cover design and PA work, and she's just multi-talented and amazing. She is Genesis PA.
Are you in PA too?
I am.
Nice. I don't really want to say where I'm at because it's stalker stuff, but I'm about an hour outside of Philly.
Okay.
Yeah. So okay, nope, not gonna say it right now.
We should invite him.
So we do this thing.
Do you know I already typed that.
So we do this thing, and this year was the first year. Next year's the second year. It's in April. We do a con, a romance con outside of Baltimore. Really? Yep. Charm City Romanticon. And we are we're at Ellicott City. And it's not that far from Philly. I know that because I drive to Philly often, because my elder spawn's partner lives right outside of Philly. So we do that. But we did the first one this year, and it's a small. Janice was there as one of our signing authors.
Janice went to? Because I saw the pictures of that.
Yes.
Oh, I wish I would have known. I would have came now.
So we'll send you the dates for 2024.
Okay. Cool.
Right. We'd love to have you there.
Yeah, that'd be great.
It's not just an author signing. We're about the community. We're not just about writing books. We are honestly just all about the romance community and bringing in multiple levels of it, as far as the readers, the writers, the fangirls, the fan guys, the authors, everybody together. Because we're all
really,
about.
I'll be honest with you. I was really, really surprised how big the community was. I didn't really know, like. Last romance novels I knew about were, like, you know, when I was growing up, was Fabio. You know, that was a big guy. You know, that was a big thing, you know. And, yep. And so, and then 50 Shades of Grey came out, and it, like, you know, like, it really
number one.
Yep.
By romance sells more books than every other subgenre combined.
Yep.
What is? I'm sorry.
Romance novels, they sell more than every other book genre combined.
I bet. No, I listen. I believe you 100%. Yeah, I believe you. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a $1 billion, $2 billion industry. It's huge.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we do focus on indie. You know, there is mainstream traditional publishing romance novels out there. But the indie community is really what's been, that's what our thing is anyway. Yeah. No knock against traditional publishing. I work with authors who do traditional publishing also, but the indie community, the connections that you make are pretty deep and pretty amazing. I have a degree in English, and when I was first starting to do all these things, we're not going to talk about how far back, it was, you know, you sent in all the manuscripts and you prayed basically, and maybe somebody reached out. And if you were a reader and you wanted an autographed book or you wanted just something signed, it was like you sent it to a publisher and it took months. And now to be able to walk into a room where there are, in our case, 24 to, you know, 30 authors, or to go to something that's huge like Book Bonanzas this weekend, and there's hundreds of authors, and you can walk up to them and shake their hand or tackle hug them or get them to sign something. That's something that's so unique and so incredible to have those connections. So it's a pretty interesting, unique industry with indie romance.
So it's like Comic-Con for romance novels.
It is.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's cool.
It absolutely is.
Oh, well, I'd love to be a part of that next time I want to come. So,
okay. And
our event is even more specific than most signings. You know, we have a panel where you would be on, you know, anyway, we'll have a conversation.
Okay. Yes.
All right. That works.
Producer Julie is going to reach out and work her magic.
Right on.
So, but it's funny because I'm listening to your voice, and I love that Ron said that at the beginning, because audiobooks make a difference. Hearing somebody's voice makes a difference. And when you have a message and you have a voice that carries, so congratulations on using that as well.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, I get that a lot, man. I get that whole Sly Stallone thing a lot. not to throw up a little shameless plug, but I have an audio coming out for my book soon. It's getting edited right now. So
awesome.
You'll be able to get my book in audio soon. Not to put a little plug on anything, but yeah.
Okay, no, we definitely want you to plug it. So Julie's going to put up all the graphics and the links. And do you have it sitting nearby? Can you hold up a copy?
Yeah.
Sweet. Oh, hi, Maggie.
This is the book here.
Nice.
I love it.
That's the one on Amazon, correct?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, it was number 3 on Amazon for like 4 or 5 months. It was number 2, but then I got knocked down to number 3. So, but
congratulations.
I didn't expect anybody to buy it, to be honest with you. I just did it because I literally just wrote it. I you know, my journey ended when I you know, I traveled the country for 6 months. And when my journey ended, I just felt like I needed to tell the story because I felt like somebody out there needed to read it, and they were going to read it, and they were going to change people's lives bigger than I would. So I didn't do it to kind of like get any kind of notoriety. I just did it to help that one person. And it's amazing. I've gotten, I don't know how many reviews on it, but everybody's loved it. And, I'm hoping, God willing, man, I make some connections at this gala for Netflix and everything else. I would like to turn it into maybe a series on Netflix or a movie on HBO or something. It would be amazing. I don't know. That's kind of the goal, but we'll see what happens.
You got to have goals. If you don't put it out there to the universe can't hear you.
Yeah. I just think it'd be a great story. I mean, who doesn't like to watch a movie about a dog and his guy, and a dog and a guy, you know, if you can, coming back from losing it all, you know?
Yeah. Well, that's kind of what that's the story.
We should invite him back to talk about his book.
Yes, we're going to do that.
Just too. About his book.
Okay.
We are.
That'd be awesome. Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, we'd love that. And I know it's like, we're always, this is the squirrel mind. It's the squirrels in my brains are just kind of like, you know, they take over. So kind of leading us back.
Yeah.
Janice, what were you looking, when you chose a cover for No Going Back, what were you looking for? Why did you choose that photo?
That is actually the second cover. There was another cover for that book. And I'm in the business of selling books, right? And so I am in all the photographer groups, and the attention that a certain someone in this Zoom chat got was phenomenal. And he fit what I needed. And so I kind of had that like sometimes when you pick a cover, you kind of don't, you can't test it. You don't know how it's going to perform. And I had all this evidence that a cover with him on it would perform well. And so Julie and I went through a few different options because I was kind of a little late to the party because I try to stay off social media and actually get my work done. Otherwise I will never leave. And so we went through a few options and we ended up picking the one we did. And because I knew it would perform well, honestly.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Worked for me.
It did. It has worked really, really well. I went to pick up the dust jackets at the printer, and the test ones that we did were the alternative cover that has the swing on it. And so they hadn't seen the cover with Christopher on it yet. And so when I sent it over, they printed everything off and I walked in and the girl at the front desk said, "Why would anyone buy the other cover?" And I said, "They do. I know. Yes, they were shocked that I would even bother making another cover. Apparently that one came through and they were all like,
yep.
Yeah. So again, clearly it's all about how it's going to perform.
Yep.
I know that's a boring answer.
No, it's a great, it's funny too, because I actually went to go get to print it at Staples.
Yes.
And I told the girl I needed it like ASAP. Like the book didn't come. I came home from work and I was like, I don't have anything and I'm going to help promote your book. So I wanted to have it up there with my other books, you know? And so I ran into Staples and I'm like, listen, can you print this out for me quick? And I was like, I got like 25 minutes before I get me back for this podcast that I'm doing with the author and the journalist of it. And she printed it out and she looked at me and she looked at the cover and she's like, "That's you?" I'm like, "Yeah." She goes, "Here, just take it. You can have it." I was like, "I don't pay for it." She's like, "No, just take it." She's like, "That's awesome." I was like, "Oh, thank you very much." So, yeah, they liked it too.
Yeah.
You know, visuals sell. There's no way around it. Even with Kindle and ebooks being so popular, visuals sell because you have to do an ad. You can't put just a Kindle blurb up there and say, "Oh, buy my book." Visuals sell. And I can't tell you how many times I've talked to people or I've been in groups and they're like, "The book was great and I like the cover, but the cover doesn't match the book. The cover doesn't match the character." And it's kind of a letdown. And then when the cover matches the character, because it does, it's like if you're looking at a cover that has, you know, a sexy silver fox on it, and then the character's like a 22-year-old athlete, you're like, dude, I didn't buy a book for a 22-year-old athlete. That's not what I wanted. So it's like bait and switch. But it's so it has to match. But
does silver, I gotta ask, I'm gonna interrupt, because does Silver Fox offend you?
Who, me?
Yeah, I mean, you're only 47.
No, to be honest with you,
like,
I didn't know what it was until I started modeling. Well, I no
don't
idea.
Want to offend you. It's a great
no, I'm not offended at all. No, listen, I used to get picked on like when in school, everybody would think that I was going, they're like, "Oh, you're gonna be bald by the time you're 30 and stuff." And all those same people are now bald. And I still have a full head of hair. So I don't care if it's gray. At least I had it.
I love it.
I'm good with that.
That's called karma.
That's karma. Yes.
Yeah, right? Yeah, totally. That's totally a karma thing. And every time I see him too, I always go like this. I'm like, "How you guys doing today?"
Awesome. No, but it does. It makes a difference. And it's not even just the picture, but it's the photograph itself. So anybody can take a picture, but there's something that's really intrinsically valuable in a photographer who can capture the right everything. You call it the essence of the photo, you know? So Janice, when you were looking at it, I mean, what drew you other than that's okay, it was performing well, but there's something that draws the eye to begin with.
So it's, you know, I would say the photographer does matter, but the model matters, honestly, because you can have the best photographer in the world. And I watch trash TV at like 100%. And there's this show called Darcy and Stacy. And one of the chicks is married to this guy from Europe who wants to be a model. And he is like, he's so stiff and awkward looking, and he's attractive, but he, like, some people convey emotion with their expressions, with their mannerisms, with their posings, and that is hugely, hugely important. And so the book's set in Montana. It's fucking cold in Montana. And so I couldn't have like a shirtless dude, like my Alaskan books. I can't put shirt. It just doesn't make sense. So his outfit was appropriate. And sort of the expression on his face was right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And it conveys what Griffin's character arc is within the book. And that's sort of being retrospective.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, Jane gave me a few pointers, but she was actually really impressed. I'd never modeled before. That was my first time doing it. And she really didn't have to give me much, man. She's like, you really have a natural talent for it. And I was like, thank you. I really do appreciate it, man. Really, like I said, I'm going for a photo shoot on Tuesday in New York. So, hopefully more doors open up. But I do really do appreciate you picking me. Everybody, every author that's picked me, I'm really humbled by it. I had an ugly ducky phase years ago where I thought, who would want this guy, and to be where I'm at now and to be on your covers.
And now everybody does.
Yeah. Now, I'm really honored by it, though. I really do appreciate you picking me. I really do appreciate it.
Hey, no problem. It was perfect. It worked out well for me. and honestly, in the cover groups, the photographer groups, I like, this is going to sound really terrible, but like, it gets boring looking at hot guys. Like, you reach a certain point where your brain goes numb. You've looked at pictures all day long, and a hot guy is just a hot guy. When you're looking for a cover, you need something more.
Yeah.
You need something more than just a hot guy. You need a hot guy who has the right emotion in his self.
Yeah.
Because we can take pictures of hot guys all day long, but it shows that there was a definite difference in your photographs because of the dramatic reaction you got. So you did a good job.
Thank you.
Well done.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
So you sold a lot of books of me on the covers, are you saying?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Awesome. Yes. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. I sold a bunch of books based on Silver Fox. So embrace that.
Right on.
But yes. Yes. Absolutely.
So you are going to a photo shoot in New York.
Yes, ma'am.
What's the photographer? Who's the photographer?
You caught me in there. It's Alyssa Rooner. Alyssa okay. Rooner, I think her name is. She's done celebrities and everything. She follows me on Instagram and Facebook, and she's actually offered to me before to take pictures, and I kind of just shied away from it a little bit. I haven't worked for last week. I actually hurt my back at work, so I haven't worked for last week. So I'm a little stressed, and I'm not one to sit around and do nothing. So I reached out to her to see if she had availability on Tuesday for me to go out there and take some pictures. So, I figure while I'm out there, I'm going to stop out of Wilhelmina and Ford and say hi and see if I can pick up a contract while I'm out there.
Yeah. Well, speaking of your day job, what is it that you do?
I drive a truck for an HVAC company. They hired me because I was the guy who lifts all the heavy stuff. I've been a trainer for like 30 years. So compared to all the young guys that I work with, I'm in the best shape. Unfortunately, I had a slip the other week and I twisted my back a little bit, but I should be fine. I carry 200-pound water heaters and stuff up steps and lift. It keeps me in shape. You know, keeps me young. So
very good.
But it's only for right now. Like, hopefully everything else takes off and I'll be doing stuff like this full time. Yeah.
Awesome.
I love it. There's something about, I'm just going to back that up a little bit. So I'm trying to think of how to couch this because I don't want it to sound wrong or weird or whatever, but the blue collar hero.
I'm as blue collar as they get. My hands are calloused all heck, I can build you a house if you want it.
Okay. So that was my question so this is something you've always been somebody you've worked with your hands. You've always been blue collar. You've always done things.
I grew up on a horse farm and I grew up farming. And thanks to my stepdad, he was, minded my friend, he was a ball buster and a half. And so, you know, the best thing about having a stepson is he can make him work. So he liked to make me work. So, you know, putting fences up, you know, throwing hay, cleaning horse stalls, you know, anything that he could, painting, building houses, anything he can get me to do, he taught me how to do it. And I stayed with construction jobs for a long time. And that's one of the things, like, I went and saw a psychic like once years ago. And when I say my hands are calloused, my hands are calloused. And I went and saw a psychic, and the psychic's like grabs my hand and he goes, "I can tell you're not afraid of hard work." And I'm like, "Well, that's pretty obvious, bro." Like, my hands are like leather, man. I'm like, that's pretty obvious, bro. You know?
Yeah. Which is kind of hilarious because Griffin in the book, he builds houses. He does repairs. He's it's like
he's
crazy.
Yeah. Like that's one of the things now. Like my my girlfriend, I've been dating for 2 years. She's an amazing woman, and I love her kids. Her kids are amazing. And we've been looking at houses, and you know, she's never really had to like look at houses like in depthly, you know. So she'll walk into a house, she'll be like, "Oh, this looks good," and I'm like, "No, that beam right there is crooked." I'm like, "Freaking, whoever painted this room painted it wrong," and I'm like, "That floor over there, the tiles, the grout lines are too thick," you know, and like, you know, so like, yeah, I pick it apart, and it's funny because the whole time I do it, I think, you know, thanks, Dad.
What does your girlfriend think of your romance cover?
You know what? She's my biggest supporter. She really is. Her name's good. Alexis, and I met her 2 years ago from TikTok, actually, believe it or not. And and she's been phenomenal, man. She's been an amazing supporter. I've been through a custody battle with my ex-wife trying to get my son, and she's been there for me. You know, if it wasn't for her, honestly, if it wasn't for her, you know, reminding me how far I've come, I would have let those things that my ex-wife did to me and things of trauma stop me from doing all this, you know, but she keeps reminding me how far I've come and who I am now and where I'm going. And she's really a godsend. I mean, I'll be honest with you, she's really a godsend. I mean, it's not easy for her at all. You know, I'm hard to deal with. I'm stubborn. So I'm a little hard to deal with. And then, you know, for her, you know, she's more of an introvert. You know, she really doesn't like the whole public persona and people to know about my life, you know, and her life too. But, you know, I'm an extrovert and I do my stuff to help people, you know, and to be an example. One of my quotes, one of my biggest sayings is leading by example. You know, the example you set now is what changes generations in the future, you know? And so my following, and it's all by coincidence, it wasn't like I actually went out and tried to be that guy, but my following is 96% women and only 4% men. So, you know, I get a lot of attention, so it's really hard for her sometimes to deal with that, and I try to be respectful of that, you know, and let her know that my persona on social media is just that. It's I mean, I'm real. I mean, it's all real. It's really who I am. But I don't feed into that attention. And that's one of the reasons I fell in love with her, is because she was the only woman that ever in my last like 30, 40 years who reached out to me and didn't compliment me. She didn't say, "Hey, you're good looking. You look like Brad Pitt. You know, your voice sounds like Sly Stallone." You know, she reached out to me because she saw I was hurting at a point. And she just wanted to see if I was okay. And we became really good friends before we did anything else, you know, and she approached from a friend stance. And for that, I always respect her, man. She really, really went on and just got to know me as me and not the superficial me, you know? And that's one of the reasons I fell in love with her. You know, she's amazing like that. I mean, we have our battles, we have our struggles like anybody else does, but at the end of the day, it's, you know, a reminder that we're friends and, you know, and we're in this together, and she does the same thing, and we put it to bed, you know?
I love it. Yeah. That's a cute, I love it, the meet cute aspect of it too. Reaching out, and she's like, "No, she didn't compliment me. It was just a, hey, are you okay?"
Yeah. You know, that, she really, she was, genuine... she was the first person not to be like, you know, try to talk to me on a superficial level. You know, it wasn't like, you know, because not to sound, you know, egotistical or anything, but I've gotten compliments on my life, you know, about the way I look, that I look at Brad Pitt or Paul Walker or that dude from that vampire show, whatever that is, freaking, and you know, it's nice. I mean, don't get me wrong, it's nice, but You know, there's so much more to me, you know, than any of that.
Right.
And she took the time to get to know me and not dwell on all that, you know, about all those stuff, you know, and she's a little hottie too, man. She's a little Italian girl from, you know, Brooklyn, New York, you know, freaking she's a little hottie. So it's like, you know, we complement each other really well. You know, I'm the loud big voice in the area, and she's like, you know, the quiet lady unless you piss her off. Begin.
I have a suggestion.
And
that
Italian fire comes out, you know.
I have a suggestion to make, and it's up to her if she's comfortable with it. But when you start doing your photographs, readers love real life couples on covers.
If really?
You think yes. So when you start selling your own photographs, if you think she would be hip for it, I would consider doing some of the two of you together. Readers and writers freaking love that shit.
Really?
Love it.
Because it's not only there is a connection that you guys have naturally. Mm-hmm. So it's not even acting. You're not having to act like you're in love with this woman. Mm-hmm. You love her. You cherish her.
Mm-hmm.
Perfect.
That's a great idea. I will talk her into it.
Well, I mean, I know she's an introvert and doesn't like putting it out there. She might be uncomfortable, but like money makes a lot easier to deal with.
Yeah, no, I get it. Absolutely, man. No, she's stunning. It's the only thing that sucks about our relationship is like she's only 6 years younger than me, and she has no gray hair. She, you know, dark black hair. And whenever I post a picture or something, me and her, everybody's like, oh, your daughter is so cute. And I'm like, God, darn. I was like, she's not my daughter. I was like, she's never going to let me live this down.
Like, that's not a her life, thing. You know? That's a them thing. Yeah. That is not a her thing. Oh, God. Sorry.
Oh, it's so funny. It cracks me up because they're like, you know, they're like, oh, yeah. And I'll be like kissing her on the forehead. And they're like, oh, your daughter is so cute. I'm like, man, I'm not from Alabama. I'm like, this ain't Pornhub, man. I'm not. This ain't my stepdaughter. Like, this is, you know, this is my girlfriend. She's 6 years younger than me.
Okay, but what's wrong with Alabama?
I thought it's a compliment, you know. I'll take it. You know what I mean? She's aging gracefully. You know, she loves it though. She gets a kick out of it. She'll throw it in my face every once in a while. So,
but that kiss on the forehead.
Yeah.
Yeah. Great picture.
Kiss on the forehead.
Yeah.
I'm telling
she's
you,
only,
I...
she's only 5 foot. 5 foot four, maybe, or 5'2". Maybe she's 5'2". She might be 5'2". So she like comes up to here to me. So she's the perfect height, you know. And she takes really good care of herself. Like she goes to the gym as much as I do, and she's all natural. She's never done drugs, never drank, and she's like the perfect epitome of somebody who lived a healthy lifestyle. And I give her credit for that. I really, really give her credit for that, man. She, you know, she didn't have an easy life. She had a hard life, you know, but she did everything to take care of herself, you know, and didn't let anything like any of that negative stuff bring her down.
That's awesome.
And she makes me laugh. And, you know, I got to say that too. She's funny as all hell. And
that is
she gets
important.
As silly as I do because I'm a big dork on the inside. And I got corny jokes and she laughs at all my corny jokes. So I got dad jokes for days.
That is important. That's that's definitely an important part of a relationship too. Speaking from, someone whose husband on the regular will send me things that not always appropriate, but always funny.
Oh yeah. Listen, inappropriate is always the best. You know, yes. I get that from my dad. Inappropriate is always the best, you know? Yeah. I sent her a thing of, I don't want to sound gross or anything, but it was a picture of little tadpoles. Wink, wink. Freaking. And it said, thanks for not swallowing me. Happy Mother's Day.
That's something
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see that pin. Nope.
She's like, you're gross. And I'm like, it was funny.
Oh my God. Love
sometimes
it.
You send it to someone and say, your mama should have swallowed.
Yeah, yeah, whatever. True. There's a lot of people that could happen that too.
Did it go absolutely. Both directions? Oh my God. Good. I'm glad I'm not the only one with the inappropriate family here because, we kind of, we like I said, no rails. Yeah. Just left that way. So. Yeah. I'm going to follow up with what Jana said, is that there's an emotion that comes across in a picture when it's somebody that you're connected with. And when you're looking at it, again, you're looking at a cover, you're looking at something that's going to bring that emotion out in a book, especially when you're talking about romance, because it's all about the emotion and it's all about the connection. When you have pictures who are real couples,
that are showing real emotion together, it always makes a bigger impact than, okay, you and yeah, no, that just doesn't seem to work as well. So
yeah,
we definitely should do that.
Yeah, no, I'll definitely talk to her. Thank you for the idea. I'll definitely tell her, man, because she's like, I don't like feet. Like, I don't like feet at all. I'm not a feet guy. Freaking, but she has cute feet, and I try to talk her into selling feet pics all the time. I'm like, listen, man, you can make money. I was like, you know, you can sell them feet. I'll be your feet pimp. I will do that for you.
We have a joke in the group with Susie with the feet.
That's my joke. That's how I pay for my books. I have to sell.
There
my
you go.
Feet.
Right on. See, there you go. Feet pics are the way to go, man. I'm like, do it. Nobody's gonna know who you are. Just sell it. Put a little pink toenail polish on here, and you're good to go. Yeah.
I still can't believe people buy them. But
isn't that crazy?
People buy weirder things.
Hey, you know what?
Julie.
I'm not going to yuck their yum, right?
Yeah. I just know that people are getting money for this. You know, like, where are you getting money to pay like $300 for a pair of used underwear? Like, who does that?
Right?
Like, you know, like, it's just crazy to me, you know?
The world is a very strange place. And yeah. Sometimes it's wonderful and it brings things together and it allows us to laugh and smile. And sometimes it's like, ew, what the ew?
It makes you feel better about your own choices.
Yes. That's why I watch the show Hoarders.
Yeah.
Because it makes me feel better about my space.
That's right. Exactly right. Yeah. I used to tell my friend that all the time. Like, he would tell me what he did. And I'm like, you know what the best part about being with you, Pete? He's like, what? I'm like, I feel better about my choices in life. Like,
yes.
I feel like, you know, I didn't make that choice, so I'm good.
That's it.
Oh my gosh.
I know we're coming up on time. I had said, like, we like to stick to close to an hour because we want to be respectful of people's time. And Ron, you had a question.
For Christopher?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Can you tell us more about the Mr. Health and Fitness?
Yeah, I got an hour and a half left, man, till the competition's over, and I'm in second right now. So if you guys get a chance when we're done here to vote, that'd be amazing. So I just kind of entered it as just something to do, to see what it was, you know? I was like, let's see what happens. And I've won 4 rounds so far. I'm in the quarterfinals, which it will lead me to the semifinals and then finally the finals, which is over on July 13th. Any warrior votes, you can vote for free, daily vote for free. But right now, like, if you do any warrior votes, all that money goes to helping veterans in need, building housing for veterans, which I think is an amazing cause. My grandfather was a veteran. My stepdad was a veteran. You know, and there's so many homeless veterans out there who have not only sacrificed their time and their lives, but their families, too, that are in need. So, yeah, if you go to a link on my Facebook page, I've been posting it all day. But if I win that, they put me on the cover of Men's Health and Fitness magazine 2023, and it would be amazing. Like I said, I'll be doing a workout show on Mupo Entertainment. I'll be doing my own workout show in there, so to be able to say, "Hey, I won Mr. Men's Health in 2023," would be amazing. But really, what it is for me is for my family, you know, for my kids, for my youngest son Avery and my oldest son Isaiah and my girlfriend's kids. To show them. I've been reading Men's Health magazine since I started working out when I was like 13. I bought my first workout set at a yard sale because this kid on the bus, I went on the bus with, he used to pick on me and he was stronger than me. And I hated that. So I took my, I used to do like mow grass for like $20 and I passed a yard sale and I bought my first weight set for $20 and I haven't stopped working out since. So to show my kids that they could do this, to show her kids they could do this, man, that it's something that's you know, achievable. Mm-hmm. Means more to me than the money I would win or the cover of the magazine. Just to be able to say, hey, kids, you know, you can do this, you know? And so, yeah, if you get a chance, man, to go to my Facebook page, all you got to do is search Team David 72 and you can find the link. The voting's over for the quarterfinals. I think the next hour and a half, I think it is. As long as I'm in the top 3, I move on. So, which would be great. Right now, I'm at number 2.
So
I was
we'll
at number 1 for a long time. What's that?
We'll get you through to the next round. And then by the time
thank
this
you.
Airs, we'll be going through the next
yeah,
one.
Thank you. Yeah, if you keep voting, man, it'd be amazing. And I think it would help out my family a lot. You know, it'd be really, and not only that, not help out my family, but like I said, all those warrior votes go to help veterans, you know, yeah. And I'm a big advocate for that also. You know, I like to give back to people that give to us.
Yeah. So. I love that. Oh. Wow.
Thank you for being on with us. I know we want to, I'm looking through to see, I think we covered like everything we wanted to. Well, oftentimes, like I said, we have a plan and then it just kind of goes, but we usually get to everything we wanted to.
Well, what's up next for Janice?
Right.
In writing yes. or the audiobooks. Tell us about the audiobooks because I know.
I haven't technically formally announced audiobooks yet, but I might as well. Like, I hate audiobooks. I'm not going to lie. I think they're hilarious and they're not supposed to be hilarious. But there's a recording of me somewhere when I was 2 reading The Three Bears. And that's sort of how I hear every audiobook. Like they just, I don't get into them. So I haven't done them. And I've had readers asking for them for years and I haven't done them. And I'm finally doing them. And this book was the first audiobook I've released. It's not the first one I've done. I have a little hoard stacked up waiting to be released. But yes, so my whole release schedule is screwed up because I have to wait on audiobooks to be done. And
you released this one released before the book did, right?
It did, because with Audible, you kind of don't have a choice. So I worked with a production company because I don't have the bandwidth to do the organization myself. So they get the narrators, they handle it all. They upload it and I send them money and everybody's happy. And once I approve everything and they say, oh yes, she paid us, it automatically goes into being reviewed and then publishes. Like I can't set it for a time. I can't set it for a date. It just does. And it could take 7 to 10 days. It didn't, but so I just kind of did it at a time that I thought would be close-ish and crossed my fingers and said a prayer. So it just happened to go live early.
Well, next time you need somebody to do an audiobook, let me know.
Okay, I will. Listen, if you
or pass me through to them and I'll try to.
Yes, it's Brickshop Audio. They're amazing. They have
Brickshop saved, Audio?
Yes, they've saved my whole ass because I just... I can't do anything else, you know, like being an author is not just writing books and there's literally nothing else I can take on. So anything I can get somebody else to do is what I do. So Brickshop Audio, they're awesome. And
where are they located at?
New York, I think, but
oh, beautiful.
They work with narrators all over the place. Yeah. And essentially what happens is the narrators usually have in-home studios set up and you sort of record on your own. And I don't know who does the final patching things together because most audiobooks now are both a guy and a girl.
Oh yeah.
Because most romance books are written from both points of view. And so a woman reads her point of view and a man reads his point of view. So I don't know who puts the pieces together. If it's narrators.
I think it's Brickshop.
I think so too. So, and then they collect the money and then they pay the narrators. And they work cool. with the top narrators because narrators matter. But
they really do. They're just as important as the cover sometimes. The wrong voice, the wrong match can make a huge difference. And there are narrators now that I know are booking into January and February. One, even today, I was talking to an author and she's like, yeah, I can't get the narrator I want until March. And I was like,
wow.
What?
I booked Jason Clark for next March. How long ago did I book him? A month ago?
Yep.
For unnamed kissing book. Freaking know what book I'm going to be, I don't know what book I'm sending to him. Wow. But that's how we have to do it. We have to book like, random whatever I'm going to publish, then that's what he gets.
Yes. Wow.
Because you want someone that's good.
Yeah.
Because the narrator sells books.
Yes.
Yeah, I can see that.
And again, I know this goes back to physicality and I apologize, but if a reader is listening and a narrator has a good voice and they also find them attractive, that's kind of a double like whammy there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So yeah. If it's something that you get into, it could be extra good for you.
Awesome.
Listen, I'll get you to do all the things before this is over.
Right on, right on. Thank you. No, I'm definitely
you should do everything.
Yeah, I'm definitely right. I actually went to school for broadcasting. And when I went to school for broadcasting, it was funny because I was in there with the kids that were younger than me. And they sat there and I could tell the teacher was treating me differently. So like after a month went by, I pulled him aside. I'm like, hey, Tim, I'm like, you know, I noticed you're treating me differently. You know, you can be a little harder on me. Like, you know, you could, because I'm thinking in my head, I really need direction. Like, I've never done this before. And he's like, oh, we know who you are. And I'm like, who am I? He's like, man, we know your corporate sent you. You're a secret shopper. You're here to make sure we're doing our job. And I'm like, no. I have no idea what I'm doing. You need to teach me. Yeah, yeah. They're like, well, you're doing really good. So, like, I graduated top of my class. I just never pursued it 100%. So, I mean, definitely interested in doing it. I think there's a reason that God gave me this voice, you know, not to just sound like Slice Alone. So,
telling you,
I agree.
Get it, because I'll book you right away.
Awesome. Thank you, Janice. Yeah, I definitely will, man. I need to figure out if you guys can send me the links to that stuff, man. I may have to reach out to them and see what I can do about getting in it. That'd be great.
Well, see, this is the connections. It's all about the connections. It's all
about networking. Community. Absolutely.
It's all about reaching out and saying what you want, asking for what you want, which is something I struggle with. So this was a big ask. So it's, you know, you have to sometimes say, okay, I'm just going to go out there and say it. I'm going to do it. The seed has been planted and now it's time for it to grow and, you know, put it out there. So, because like I said, we know that there are narrators who can make or break a book. And we know that there are narrators who are in very high demand. And we know that there are narrators who are booking out forever. And it's not like, oh, we want there to be more competition for them. Jason Clark's never going to hurt for work. You know, he is amazing. So it's having that additional sources out there.
Exactly.
We were all trying to figure out, is that coming from our models? Right. Exactly. And it, you know, there are cover models out there, again, also, who you see on book after book after book, who you can see on book after book after book because they have great range. Mm-hmm. You know, and a really good photographer can take a model and say, we're going to just change this slightly, or we're going to change this or do that. And it changes the entire look of something. And that's why it's really important to get in with a really good, a good photographer as well. Mm-hmm. Sorry, the Elder Spawn just texted me something. So I was like, okay, is it an
emergency? I think there are readers who will buy books strictly because of who's on the cover.
Yeah.
They like it's it. Yes.
I was going to say it's Michelle.
Yes, absolutely. Doesn't matter what the tropes are. Doesn't matter what the subgenre is. If they get to read about that guy, they'll buy every one of them. You know, he's got tentacles.
I have books on the shelf that I've never read because there's a certain person on the cover, and it's just the way it is. Shut up, Julie.
I'm just what I was gonna say is I'm glad Janice said tentacles instead of something else, because normally something else comes out.
I'm trying to be on my best behavior. You know, I tell everybody they have to read Ruby Dixon. I'm not gonna call it what I call it.
I was gonna say Christopher is in the dark, so maybe you should say it now.
There's a book that I love that I have been trying to make Julie read forever, and I call it the Green Peen book, because he's a half orc, and I read it because I'm always trying to be better, right? I can always be a better author. And this chick writes kind of sci-fi romance, I guess. And in like three paragraphs, this guy's like a half orc. He's got like a broken tusk. He's giant. He's green. And I'm like, I'd do him. Like, and so like, I'm like, I have a lot to learn. I'm just trying to get people to want to do regular human men. So if she can do that, I have a huge amount to learn from her. So I recommend that book all day, every day.
Right on.
Speaking of the trying to get people to do regular men, what's next on your docket?
I am writing in the Lost Boys world right now, but because of audio, it won't come out until later in the fall. And then I'm writing Alaskan Security next, and rotating. I'm looking at my list. I forget who's next. Okay, wait. Yes. And then, oh, back to the Cowboys again. Yes.
So I have a question. How long does it take you to write a book, Janice?
About a month.
Wow. That's yes. Amazing.
I it's my full-time job. It's how I support my whole family. And so I work every day. Like, I get up and I write my words and I do what really? Has to be done. Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's pretty amazing. I'm going to be honest with you. It took me 6 years to write this.
It's hard. The first one is hard. The first one took me like a couple years because you kind of don't know what you don't know. And then you get yeah. into it and you're like, shit, what's happening right now? And
mine, it was a hard time for me because it was like, who wants to read a story? But who wants to read this story? Like, it's a shit life. It's a Disney fairy tale. Like, it sounds like crap, you know? And so it was really hard for me to, because I was I'm bluntly honest in the book. Like, it doesn't make me sound very good. It doesn't make, you know, my ex-wife sound good, very good in my family. But at the end, you know, I kind of left it hanging. I'm actually writing a number two. I kind of left it hanging at the end, not to give away anything, but, but yeah, it was really hard for me. You know, it wasn't easy at all. That's amazing. Well, you write a book in a month.
Well, but you were writing about your own pain.
Yeah.
And that's very different.
Oh yeah.
I'm just making shit up.
Like, the characters honestly, do shit and she just writes the incident report.
I do, right? Yeah. Right, I'm on. Just making shit up. I think if I were to write a book about what I have been through, it would be a lot more difficult.
Yeah.
Because you're not just writing, you're having to deal with the pain, honestly. Yeah,
that was the hardest. I'll be honest, that was the hardest part, is reliving it. Yeah,
going and you can only physically handle so much of that at a time before you have to kind of step away. So
you're honestly, that's exactly what it was, Janice. I would write and then I'd be like, man, I can't, I don't want to talk about it. I don't want to think about it. You know what I mean? Yep. And even when I was doing the audio, which I did a month ago, but I'm waiting for it to get edited, is you know, reading it, I had to pause a bunch of times, you know, so I wasn't getting all choked up, you know.
Yes.
And I was happy when it was done. Like, I was like, finally, I just put that part, you know, that end done, you know, that chapter of my life over with, you know. Yep. And I'm excited for the number two because all this is happening and I get to write about all that. But right. You know, this is but yeah, that's still amazing though. A book in a month is amazing.
Thanks. It's an addiction. I think it's, I just finally found something that sort of my jam.
Yeah,
my little squirrel brain hyper focuses on it.
There you go. Right on. Very cool.
Do you only write one at a time? Or do you have multiples going at a time?
No, that is like chaos. I see people who do that and it makes me want to like cry and throw up a little bit because I cannot imagine keeping track of so much like bullshit. Because you've got like subplots and you've got side characters and like I would end up mixing everything up and it would just be a mess.
And I remember when you, because you tried in the last year, you've tried, and she doesn't write all of her books in the same point of view. Some are third person, and she would mess up how she was writing it. Like if she had been writing third person in this book and then come over here to first person, it was just a mess.
It's gotta be confusing. Yeah, it'd be very confusing.
Yeah, it was bad news. Yeah. Bad news. Don't recommend.
And some authors have so much stuff in their head. It's like, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And others are like, no, just totally linear vision. And some authors, it takes months to write books.
It does. It's total.
There's some authors I work with, they put out 3 books a year.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then some are like, you know, I'm finishing one and they've got another one coming towards me. So, and some takes longer than others. So it's a journey. Writing's a journey.
Yeah, it is. I'm over it by like, I don't know, where do I make it, Julie? Maybe the halfway point. And I'm like, I'm done with this book. These people are so boring, but I have to finish it. So like maybe I make it to 3/4 of the way, but by 3/4.
By the end of the book, she's done.
Yes. I'm over them. And she's like, you've got to write your bonus bits. And I'm like, I hate you. When did you, what?
The life of a PA. Do your story.
Tell me what to write and I'll write it. Who even wants to decide?
She'll be like, what are we going to write for the bonus bits? I'm like,
I make her pick. I make Julie pick all kinds of shit. I'm like, what should I write about next? What should he do? Where should he live? What's he look like? What's the title of this book?
That's so funny.
Like my handler.
Well, that's good to have that support. Yeah.
It is. She lives right down the street from me. And we met through a mutual friend and realized how close we live. And she's been stuck with me forever and ever.
That's awesome. Like,
we worked together for probably a couple of months. Mm-hmm. And I was in the car talking to her and I'm like, oh, I just went to this place to eat. And she's like, where do you live? And I'm like, well, do you know where this place is? She's like, I live on that road. I was like, oh.
Yes.
It takes about 3 minutes.
Connecting us is closed. So now it takes like 3.5 minutes to get to her house.
That's awesome.
Bullshit.
See, it's meant to be. It's crap. It's crap. So
I have to wait to see you at a book event.
What? I know, but you'll see me soon in November, right?
November. Yeah.
November.
November. Yeah. So now we could travel all over the country. Eventually I'm going to be able to say I traveled out of the country to go to a book event, but that's not yet. But it's interesting how a lot of these things bring people together.
That's someone in November.
November is what's in November?
ATA in Indiana.
There you go. Cool.
HEA in Indiana.
Yes. And then there's a couple in Kentucky next year.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one that hasn't been announced yet on the West Coast.
Ooh, West Coast. I haven't been to the West Coast in a while.
We need to bribe her to come to Myrtle.
You should. Yeah.
You should come to Myrtle with us.
Myrtle in November.
Myrtle Beach. I can't because I got to go do that thing. And then
I feel like I'm out of the loop.
I have to write that Big Northwest book in November. And if I don't write that book, it's going to be freaking anarchy.
Well, if you come to Myrtle, I'll lock you in a room and make you write it. Right?
It's a writer's retreat.
It's a writer's retreat.
Ish.
Yes. Ish.
Writer's-ish retreat. Yes.
We're kind of, say sorry, Christopher. We're all over the place.
No, it's okay. It's all right. I'm enjoying listening. You're good.
Yeah.
This is what happens when we all get together, whether it's in person or it's, and we all met through book stuff. So the weirdest thing is that it's not like, you know, we've been friends for years. I met Julie through Janice's group, and then I met Susie, and then I met Ron through a completely different group, and we just all kind of gelled. So you never know who you're going to run into. You never know who you're going to wind up with. Okay, Elder spawns on her way home. Must have been a rough night at the dojo. I'm sorry if she's just leaving now. Yeah, sorry. So
we met for the first time in November of 2021 in person for the first time.
Yeah.
And it was right before there. Card. Yeah, right before there, before we went there,
yeah,
we talked like, hey, we should do a signing. And Michelle's like, okay, when are we doing it? And I'm like, really? No. I was just saying that. Like, I was talking shit. No. And here we are. We finally did it.
Yep. So that's how my husband talked me doing into a marathon way back when. Jokingly, he's like, hey, Baltimore's doing a marathon for the first time. We should do it. And I was like, sure. Yeah. Guess who did the Baltimore Marathon the first year? I won't say I ran it. Did it.
That's okay. As long as you did it, that's all that matters.
I completed it. I crawled home. But that's how people get me to do shit. They're like, hey, we should do whatever as a joke. And I'm like, we totally should. And there we have Charm City Romanticon.
There you go.
Things that are done on a dare.
Don't dare me to do something, dude. Don't dare me to do something. That's how I got into martial arts, too.
It wasn't. It was not a dare. It was literally, you know, just talking shit. And anyway, here we are.
And worked out for you.
It worked out. And shit happened.
So are we gonna do speed round?
Oh, we gotta do speed round, yes, and then we gotta let everybody go because it's late. So yes, so this is how speed round works. We're just gonna throw questions at you. It's the same questions for both of you. And Janice, you're gonna answer first, and then because we're gonna chivalry's not dead here.
No, I'm good with that.
All right, and we're just gonna run through them. So who's first? Julie, you're first. Oh, you're on mute, sweetheart.
I know. I'm working two different computers, so I got messed up. I'm like, that mouse isn't working. Well, you're right. Let's see. Who are we asking?
You're going to ask Janice. We're asking it. You're both of them. Janice is going to answer, and then Christopher's going to answer.
Okay. Beach or lake?
Beach.
Yeah, I have to agree with that. Beach.
Okay. Coffee or tea?
Coffee. You know these already.
I do.
Coffee.
Okay, good answer. sweater or hoodie?
Hoodie.
Yeah, hoodie.
Ron, you're up.
Jeans or sweats?
Sweats?
Depends on where I'm going. If I'm at home, sweats. If I'm going out, I'm wearing jeans.
Pizza or tacos?
Tacos.
Yeah, I agree with that. Taco Tuesdays are the best.
Physical book or audio? Janice, I already know this.
Physical book. Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with that too. There's something about having the texture of the pages in your hand and that whole closing at the end of a book that is gratifying and satisfying. So a lot more than audio.
I like to reread. Yeah. Specific sections, like if I read something and it like hits me, I want to immediately read it again, and then probably again, again, and then maybe just three words of it again. So,
yeah, there's just something about being able to close it, like be able to have the book on your shelf and know that you read it, you completed it, and then I agree with you, Janice, being able to go back and look at like you know, certain quotes, certain things, and get that rush of emotion and thought again. I absolutely agree with you on that.
Yep.
Susie, you're up.
Reading or writing?
Oh, okay. Julie's going to get mad at me. So I'm going to say writing.
I'm going to say reading. My handwriting sucks. I'm terrible at typing. So definitely reading.
A planner or go with the flow?
I know.
Julie, just don't put yourself on mute. Don't listen.
I'm currently taking a class on planning and binder. I have like, listen, I have a whole schedule chart.
Oh my God.
Elizabeth, you just made that.
That question. It's like, that's how I spend my whole day. But look, it says read at the end. That's my reward for being a good girl and doing what I'm supposed to do.
I'm a free flower. I don't plan shit. I really just kind of go with it. You know, I just kind of, if I want to get up in the morning and go somewhere, I just go with that first thought. You know, I'm a firm believer that we have most of us have two voices in our head. Most of us, I only have two. We have our ego mind and then we have our spirit mind. And just for an example, like you get up in the morning, you think I should go to the beach. Well, that's your spirit telling you what you should do. Something amazing is going to happen that day. You should definitely go do it. But then you have your ego mind telling you, man, listen, you got this to do. You got this to do. It's going to take you 2 hours to get there and it'll talk you out of it. So you stay in that comfort zone. So I'm a jump on to go do it, you know, first thought kind of guy, which again drives my girlfriend nuts, but it's who I am.
But that's good. You probably sort of help her balance out a little bit.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Well, the perfect example is so I got sick with COVID and I thought I was going to die last July. I thought I was laid up for like 3 weeks. I thought I'm sure I was going to die. And I actually prayed to God. I was like, man, listen, I'm sorry. I didn't have my book finished yet. And I'm like, I'm sorry. I didn't finish my book, my goal. And you know, just, you know, trying to take care of my kids. And I woke up in the middle of the night, like 3 o'clock in the morning. And I couldn't breathe. And I like coughed really hard, like twice. And I fell back asleep. And that morning I got up with a burst of energy. It was like 11 o'clock in the morning. It was a Thursday. And I had this urge to go to New Jersey to go to a boardwalk. I had no idea where I was going. I took a shower, I jumped in my car, and I drove. And I had no clue where I was going at all. And I ended up outside of Seattle, New Jersey. And on this boardwalk, I pulled into this parking lot that was a beach. And I asked the guy, there was a boardwalk. It was getting close to sunset. And I asked the guy, there was a boardwalk, I want to go fishing. He goes, yeah, actually, we drive down the beach a little bit. There's a boardwalk there. And so I drive down. And he goes, you got to pay the lady to go on the boardwalk. Well, I walked down. And on the pier, I'm sorry, it was a pier. It wasn't a boardwalk, it was a pier. And I go walking down, I couldn't see anybody. Well, by the time I made it down towards the end, when it was really long, this lady came up to me on a golf cart. And she's like, oh, it's 10 bucks. And I was like, oh, I only got five on me, but I got another five in the car. And she's like, well, I give you a ride back to your car if you want to get it. And I'm like, okay, yeah, that'd be great. So I got into the thing with her. And it was at the same point in time, my ex-wife took my son from me. I didn't talk to my son for those 2 weeks. I didn't talk to him for almost 4 months. And she blocked me and didn't let me speak to him. And because she was mad at me. And so I get on the golf cart with her, and her granddaughter calls her. And her granddaughter's talking to her and having this beautiful moment together of this bonding moment. She's like, you know, she's like, oh, honey, I bought you a fishing rod. I can't wait to see you and all this stuff. And she gets off the phone, and I can tell she's really emotional. And I said to her, I said, man, that was really beautiful. I was like, it was awesome. I get to see that, you know, I was like, I miss my son a lot. So it was awesome to see that bond you two have. I was like, you know, I'm currently fighting my ex-wife to be able to be a father. And I told her my story. And when I got to the end, I told her how I fought for my oldest son and I won. And I'm going to win this battle too, because I, you know, I'm doing what's right for my kid. It's not about me. It's about, you know, being a father that he needs, you know? And, I got to the end of the ride, and she started getting all teary-eyed and crying. And she's like, I really need to hear that. And I was like, really? She's like, yeah, because my oldest son, that was the first time I talked to my granddaughter in months. She goes, my son's been fighting for her. And he goes to court in a month to see if he can't get custody. And I was scared to death he's going to lose. And I really had no hope. But listening to your story gave me hope. And I got to tell you, thank you. And I was like, wow, man. I was like, listen, I'm going to be honest with you. I thought I was going to die just yesterday. and I prayed to God. And you know, I had this urge to come here today. And I had no idea where I was going. It took me 3 hours to get there. And I just drove. I didn't put anything in my Google Maps, nothing. And I ended up here. And at this moment, at this exact precise time. And I think it was to meet you, to tell you, to give you hope. And that's why I'm here. So, yeah. So, not to be all crazy in mind, but you know, that's why I really believe in that first voice in your head. You should listen. You know, you should really just jump on that and go with that flow, even though it's scary and crazy sometimes. Sorry, I didn't mean to ramble on the story there. It's just, you know,
it was a good story.
It was a good story.
Yeah. Yes.
Frozen yogurt or ice cream?
Ice cream.
Oh, ice cream all day. Milkshakes. Mm-hmm.
Cats or dogs?
So I have to say dogs, because everybody in my house is allergic to cats. But I love dogs. Gizmo's right here. He loves me more than anything ever in the whole world. And he'll fight you if you try to tell him otherwise.
I'll show you before I put the picture up.
Dogs. Aww.
Yeah, a dog saved my life right there. That's my O'Malley. Yeah.
So I would say Maggie's a rescue, but she rescued us. All
yeah, isn't that amazing how that happened?
It's not about us. It's about them. Yeah, we're just living in their world. And
that dog right there, yeah. If you read my book, that dog right there was, I actually want to write another book from his perspective of my journey, because I think people would really latch onto that. Because he was there through me, through everything. And I hated that dog when I had him. I didn't like him at all. I got him from an ex-girlfriend of mine. And he was annoying. He was always trying to jump in my face. And when she left, you know, he was a reminder of me and her breaking up. And I had these other two dogs that were this Great Dane and this Chow, my little Lola Bear, and Ramsey. And they both passed away before I lost everything. And that dog came with me on the journey. And he, you know, he saved my life. It was amazing. He literally,
I love it.
You know, people came up and talked to me that wouldn't talk to me, because, you know, who wants to talk to this crazy white guy walking around by himself? I know what the hell he's doing in the middle of some state, you know what I mean? But people came up and talked to me. And because of that, you know, I met some amazing, amazing people on my journey. So dogs all day.
I will always talk to somebody with a dog. It doesn't, you know.
Yeah. You know, cats don't even want to be touched, let alone, you know, somebody talking about them, you know.
We'll always talk to someone with a dog. I'm so bad. I'm like, oh, this is how my life ends. Look, there's like a mobile puppy thing, and somebody's like, come see the puppies. And I'm like, bye, go on with the puppies. So
you're that crazy white girl they talk about on TikTok all the time, right? Yeah,
probably.
Dogs over there foaming at the mouth. You're like, hi, puppy.
Yes. So I had a pet sitting business for 20 years. This is like way off track, but I had a pet sitting business for 20 years, and I trained and I sat for dogs, and I was the whisperer. I was the one where pet sitters in the area would be like, nobody can deal with this dog. You need to call Michelle because nobody else wants this dog.
That's awesome.
And I'd work with the dog, and I'd walk in and people are like, you know, it's a muscle on, it's snarly. And I'm like, oh, puppy. They're like, you are insane. I'm like, yeah, I am 100% insane. And I love your dog. And that's all there is to it. But yeah, I am that person that will.
That's awesome. That's really a talent. You know that. That's a talent.
I do consider it as such. It's a gift.
Yes, it really is.
It's a gift to deal with dogs like that. So anyway, on that note, my crazy life with my dog, who is, God, I hope you guys can. She's like right behind me and she's snoring and she's not quiet. So I don't know if you can hear her or not, but she has decided to lay right underneath my chair and snore. But thank you guys so much. This has been so much fun. And we appreciate you guys coming on with us, talking about the book, talking about the cover, talking about your lives, just sharing your time with us. Janice, No Going Back has been just a phenomenal book. I loved it. Loved the audio. Christopher, the perfect cover. Thank you for being so genuine in your social media and your talk with us today. We're really excited to see where you go next. And we'll be sending you information about Charm for 2024.
And we're all going to go vote.
Yeah, because
we're all going to go vote.
We're all going to go vote.
I already did.
Thank you. Yeah, thank you guys very much. I really do appreciate that. Sure did. Thank you. And if you can send me that information about the narrator thing, man, I'd like to know more about that. That'd be great. And honestly, I want to thank every one of you for putting me on your cover, and two for inviting me on here. It was really an honor and very humbled. So thank you very much.
Oh, well, thank you for coming.
We'll be expecting another invitation so we can talk about your book.
Yeah, definitely. Let me know, man. I'm all about it. You know?
Yeah. Perfect. Definitely. Awesome. Okay. Thank you guys so much. Have a great evening, everybody.
Thank you guys.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.